In Washington, D.C., on January 20th, 1953, Dwight David Eisenhower took the oath of office as the 34th President of the United States. Following his election to the presidency the previous November, he fulfilled one of his campaign promises by traveling to Korea late in that month of November in an effort to find the way to end the Korean War. Several thorny issues appeared to block the path. One of them was the repatriation of prisoners of war held on each side. Those whom the North Koreans held, mainly Americans, but there were other Allied forces as well, were very eager to return to the South. But those North Koreans, Russians, and Chinese, whom the South Koreans held, were not as eager to return to the North. Ultimately, those representing the various parties in the negotiations, which went on during the first months of President Eisenhower's administration, appeared to reach an agreement in principle addressing all of these issues. Most of the combatants involved in the conflict signed the agreement, but one refused. He was the president of South Korea. So, as a result, the armistice that the negotiators had reached went into effect on July 27th, 1953. So, in just 2 weeks, that will be exactly 67 years ago. But without the agreement of the South Koreans, since that time of the armistice, the Korean War has continued in a state of something like hibernation, with periodic episodes of tension and even open conflict. One of the features of the 67 years since that armistice has been the maintenance of what the world knows as the demilitarized zone. The demilitarized zone is a strip of land several miles in width that follows roughly the 38th parallel, that is the line of 38 degrees north latitude, across the Korean Peninsula. Several sources refer to the DMZ as the demarcation zone that divides North and South Korea. Those from my generation, and maybe the one after, may recall another demilitarized zone along another geographic line, the 17th parallel between North and South Vietnam. Many major battles in the Vietnam War took place near or inside that demilitarized zone. The point of a demilitarized zone, like the one that still exists on the Korean Peninsula, is to stress the division or separation between the two parties to a conflict. The idea was to create a buffer area between the two sides to minimize the likelihood of armed clashes. The effect of such an arrangement is to keep the two sides apart as having nothing in common. In our text today, The inspired Apostle Paul wrote that the Lord's table is a place that cuts a sharp line between those who are the Lord's people and those who follow the devil. It was to be the place that is the demarcation between those who are Christ's and those who are not. When we argue for the position that the Lord's table is only for believers in Christ, we maintain that separation. Paul's concern was that some of the Corinthian believers were introducing confusion to the Lord's Supper. He argued that there had to be a clean break between the worship of idols, including the eating of meat sacrificed to those idols, and the following of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle's compelling point concerned what we must call demarcation zone at the Lord's table. So I want you to think along that line with me this morning. In the case of the demarcation zone that separates the Korean Peninsula into North and South Korea, the idea behind it is that it clarifies those who belong to each country. The North Koreans, by terms of the agreement, are supposed to stay on their side of the demarcation zone or the demilitarized zone, and the South Koreans are supposed to stay on their side of that zone. Any effort by one party or the other to cross that zone is the beginning of problems that can spark open combat. The Lord's table is the dividing point in the midst of the world. Those who partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper advertise to everyone that they refuse to partake of the table of devils. This table, then, is the declaration by those who partake of its elements that they are with the Lord and that they refuse to go back into the beggarly elements of the world. The key to the text is the word that occurs twice in it, cannot. Cannot. So this text reminds us that there is an inherent impossibility of which we profess awareness when we come to this table. Either you partake of the Lord's table or you partake of the table of devils. There are three compelling aspects of our text that we must consider as we prepare to partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper. First, intractable contest. Intractable contest. Well, we spoke about the Korean War and the state of war that still exists on the Korean Peninsula. It has been underway now for more than 70 years. It began on June 25th, 1950, when the North Koreans invaded the South. That was just a little more than 2 months before my parents exchanged their wedding vows in Philadelphia. That's the Korean conflict. But the conflict between the Lord and the devil has been transpiring for the entire history of the world. It's raging around us as we sit here today. And in that conflict, Paul would have us to know there is no middle ground. That was the point he made in his text. We do not come to the Lord's table while at the same time maintaining our allegiance to the world system and the wicked worship that the world engenders. Here is a contest. Here is a clash that continues throughout the history of the, will continue as long as the world is here, as long as the Lord has not come again. And at the Lord's table, we see the evidence of this contest before us. Here is the evidence of that conflict in the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. The text draws our attention to the issues of fellowship. There is the Lord's table, we read, and the table of devils. You cannot partake of both. In the context, and we read beginning at verse 16 for this purpose, Paul emphasized the significance of the elements of which we shall partake. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The communion of which we read in that verse is that which we have in common. The communion of the body and the blood of Christ. That communion is what provides the demarcation zone for us. It separates us from the communion with devils. The intensity of this contest is constant. The Korean War, of which we have spoken, has gone through periods of extreme tension and less tension. Those who are on the frontier at the demilitarized zone, they're never free of tension. They're always on their guard, on their alert. But there are periods where there's actually shooting going on. And then there are periods when it stops. But the contest in which we find ourselves is constant. The contest between the Lord and the devil never lets up. And when you come to the Lord's table, you testify that you are one of the Lord's soldiers. You are on the Lord's side. And in that setting, we confront the second aspect of this demarcation zone, incontestable contradiction. Incontestable contradiction. Paul's message to the people in Corinth, some of whom were trying to have it both ways, some of whom were trying to play it down the middle, so that they could avoid alienating one side of the contest or the other, is that what they were doing was impossible. And we come back to the two occurrences of the word in our text, cannot, cannot. It's not a statement of permission, it's a statement of prohibition. And it's a universal statement speaking to the Corinthians. You cannot do that. There's no ability, he said to them, under any circumstances, to bridge the divide that exists, the demarcation zone that exists. You cannot do both. You cannot be with the Lord and still partake of the world of the devils. You must drink one cup or the other. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. It is impossible. You have to partake of one table or the other. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. So when you come to the table today and you take the elements and you partake of them, you profess you are with Christ. You profess that individually, and we profess it all together as a body of believers, that we are standing with Christ and that we will stand with him against every campaign of the devil. In his following epistle to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Paul placed the contradiction into a slightly different setting. Chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Notice the emphasis in this series of questions of the inspired apostle. At every point, there is the emphasis upon the divergence between these things. Righteousness and unrighteousness cannot have fellowship. Light and darkness cannot have communion. That is, where there is darkness and light comes, darkness has to go. Christ and Belial cannot have any concord or agreement or compromise. The one who believes has no part with the one who is an infidel, who does not believe. The temple of God can have no agreement with idols. So that is the emphasis upon this contradiction. The Lord's table is a take it or leave it scenario. That is, you cannot take it and keep on taking the world at the same time. In ecclesiastical terms, and I think we can put it into those terms, you cannot partake of the Lord's table and still join forces with the purveyors of apostasy or with those who compromise with apostasy. Yet, in many ecumenical gatherings, one of the leading features is the Lord's table. So those who partake of that table are also partaking with apostates and those who compromise with them. Paul was saying there is no basis for cooperation with those who partake of the table of devils. Yet, sadly, there are many about us today who engage in that kind of cooperation while still partaking of the Lord's table and professing to be standing with the Lord. Paul's word was adamant. You cannot. It is impossible. It has to be one or the other. When you partake of the Lord's table, your testimony is you remember the Savior. You remember the sufferings of the Savior. You will never abandon him. You will never abandon his sacrifice. So let that resolve to be with Christ dominate our thinking as we partake of the Lord's Supper today. Paul's word in our text was firm, and that's the third aspect to which we come irresistible command. At the Lord's table, we hear the words that we read just a few minutes ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Be ye separate, be ye distinct, touch not the unclean thing. As surely as the demilitarized zone on the Korean Peninsula separates the north from the south, and if you ever have occasion to do any searching for nighttime photographs taken from Earth orbit of the Korean Peninsula, you will see how stark that separation is. The south is all lit up, and then suddenly there is darkness. The demilitarized separates those countries. But to a far greater extent, the Lord's table separates those who are the Lord's people from those who are not. That is why we take such efforts to fence the table, to prevent those who are not among the Lord's people from participating. Here is a clear separation that refuses all attempts at compromise or dilution of the truth. We come to this table to testify that we have obeyed the Lord's command to come out from among them. Near the end of the Revelation, in Revelation 18 and verse 4, the inspired apostle John delivered a similar command. Revelation 18 and verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Speaking there of that wicked system known as Babylon the Great. The command for this separation never ceases. Every day, we hear afresh the command that comes from the Lord to come out of her. So that's one side of the fellowship that we have at the Lord's table. But at the same time, there's a command to rejoice in the fellowship that exists. If you cannot partake of both, what that is saying is that you can partake of the Lord's table exclusively, and that table emphasizes that for all the difference of views that may exist on various subjects in the world, the Lord's people at the Lord's table join together on common ground. And that common ground is their saving faith, their interest in Christ. It's his table. As the people of Christ partake together of the elements, they identify with each other, and they hear the command of Christ that he delivered to his disciples on the night before his crucifixion, where he gave them the command that they should love each other as he loved them. That's the standard for that love. As surely as we cannot partake of both tables, we cannot forsake those who are standing with us, our fellow believers at this table. We reassert the truth. Here is the demarcation zone. Here, once again, we testify that we take our stand with Christ and for Christ.